Alright.
What's negligence? What is negligence?
Not enough care put into something.
What?
Not enough care put into something.
Not enough care put into something. Okay. Fail? What? Okay, you're reading well, but what does that mean? What does that mean?
Not do what you're supposed to do.
Not do what you're supposed to do. And? As a result of you not doing what you're supposed to do?
Someone gets hurt.
Someone gets hurt. Do you have a right to hurt someone?
No.
No, you do not. What if you really want to? Well, that would be a tort, because that would involve intent. No, you have the right to a degree to do what you want. But your right to do what you want has a natural legal limit. The moment your right to do what you want interferes with someone else's right to exist. If you mean to do something to them, you are going to be held liable. That's what the torts are about. Or, if it's really bad, and society says, no, that could be crime. But if you didn't mean to do what you did to them, well, you could also be held accountable. I used to get that from my kids a lot when they were younger. Well, they didn't mean to do it. So what? You still did it. And ultimately, that standard has been created because you are not allowed, you have no right to harm somebody or to do damage to their things. Duty, breach, proximate cause, foreseeability, harm. Because this is a civil tort, obviously it's plaintiff who's claiming that defendant acted negligently, but it's on the plaintiff they have to show by a preponderance of the evidence that a reasonable person would think that all those elements are present. How would you show that there was a duty? How would you show that there's a presence of a duty? How do you think you would show the presence of a duty? Do we all not have just a common sense of what is right, what is wrong? That one's not that hard. We all kind of know how we should act. You all have a parent, at least a parent, right? Or parents, or guardian, and they all kind of raise you with ethics and morals. Well, it's not that hard to figure out. You should act a certain way, depending upon where you are. Okay. Breach? How would you show there was a breach?
Failure to exercise.
Well, you get fat when you fail to exercise.
That too.
No, but what does that mean? What does that mean? We have to get these ideas into our heads. Just common sense language.
You did something wrong.
You did something wrong. So, you're supposed to act a certain way and you didn't. Okay? Easy. Proximate cause. How would you show proximate cause?
Is what you did or accidentally did the direct cause for somebody to hurt?
So if I'm sitting there and I'm swinging my fists and a ceiling tile fell down and hit you and you're sitting in the back of the room and I stayed up here, is what I did the proximate cause of the injuries that you suffered? No, but if I went up the aisle, like I said last class, swinging, and everyone in these two aisles got their head bopped, yes, you could say my failure to act responsibility is what caused the harm. Foreseeability. How would you prove that? Would a reasonable person expect that to happen? Swinging an arm in someone's general proximity, resulting in a black eye. Yes, I could see that being a likely outcome. But me swinging an arm and you suffering from chemical poisoning, would a reasonable person think that that type of injury was foreseeable? No. And of course, the last one, how would you show you were actually harmed? Pictures, medical bills, witnesses, something. All right, questions on the elements of negligence?
Not a question, but a comment, because we've made a statement about taxes. So this just happened to my friend because she had a battery pack, and it exploded on her, and she just won her court case, and she doesn't have to pay taxes on it because it's a personal injury. Personal injury, you don't have to pay taxes on it. Anything else, like automobile accidents or anything like that, you do have to pay the taxes.
Yeah. Punitive damages. Yeah. All right. Here is something that you need to remember. Under the law of negligence, if you are above the age of 18, you are held to a single standard, an adult standard. And it makes no difference how smart the person is or how dumb they are. You could have an IQ of 140 or you could have an IQ of 60. The law will treat you the same. Why? Again, that expectation that if you were raised in our society, there are so many of those little golden rules that you've been exposed to throughout your life. And whether you are a PhD or a complete moron, we all generally know what's right and what's wrong. Interestingly enough, though, children are not held to the same standard. Why?
The frontal lobe's not developed.
Nice scientific / medical response. But before, because that's only that's relatively recent as well. Why would you think? Because this came out of the common law, and this goes back hundreds of years. Why were kids treated differently than adults? Just experience. Life experience. What has a kid done in their life versus an adult?
Not much.
So, under the law of negligence, because a child is going to know less, they are not going to be held to the same general sense of duty. Breach. Rather, they're going to be held to the general standard of an average kid. An average kid approximately their age. Because obviously a 4-year-old knows less than a 10-year-old, knows less than a 16-year-old. So you're not going to hold all kids the same, but generally speaking, what would if the 4-year-old did something that could be perceived to be negligent, what would an average 4-year-old know? Because if they did not know what they were doing was wrong, could they potentially be accused of breaching that duty? You know, kids are going to get a little wider latitude than an adult. An adult, you should know how to act. Act that way. The only exception is if the negligence arises from the professional actions of a professional. So, doctors, if the negligence arises out of medical malpractice, a doctor is going to be held to the standards of the medical industry. If it's an engineer who designed a vehicle so that way it blows up, well, would the average engineer, when they were designing the vehicle, know that was going to happen? So professionals are treated based on the standards that arise from the profession. Be it police, teachers, doctors, lawyers, etc. But that's only if the negligence is caused in their professional capacity. So I am a lawyer, but I will be held if I commit an act of negligence out and about as I'm driving around. I will be treated the same as anybody else. So if I'm texting and driving, and I accidentally run over a little old lady who was in the crosswalk, doesn't matter that I'm a lawyer. What a reasonable person with a driver's license. All that.
This comes.
No.
She's just late. She didn't get the chance to bring this up.
Oh. She pay for it? If you're going to do something for someone, always get money for it. All right.
She helped me understand the assignment. There was some type of thing. It was just like experience.
Oh, okay. Hmm. All right. So here's an example. Let's say there was a contractor and he was designing the water filtration system that went into a professional building. Let's say the college is going to build a new building on campus. So they hire a contractor to do the water filtration system. Well, once the water filtration system was in and running, the basement in the building constantly flooded. Well, who is going to be held responsible for it? Is it going to be the engineer who designed the plans? Is it going to be the oversight board that reviewed the plans? Is it going to be the guy who actually installed the plumbing, the piping? Or is it the manufacturer? Don't know until you do an investigation. But obviously, whoever is determined to be liable, they're going to be held to different standards. The manufacturer, if they're manufacturing a water filtration system, it should have the water go through. It should not leak. Was it the guy who installed it? Did he follow the manufacturer's recommended directions? Or did he put it in upside down just because he thought it looked cool? The engineer, was the system too powerful for the pipes and the rest of the... There's all those things of consideration that goes in to the decision. But ultimately, once they figure out what was the proximate cause of the damage, they'll figure out who contributed, and ultimately they will be the ones potentially held liable. Questions? Paul's Craft. Let's do a case. Paul's Craft. What's the issue in Paul's Craft?
Was the railroad negligent towards Paul's Craft?
All right, what's the rule?
Negligence.
What rule are we going to determine if someone acted negligently? Which is?
The failure or the duty to act reasonably.
Make it real simple. One word for each. You have a duty?
Yep.
And then there's a?
Breach.
Breach. And?
Proximate
cause. And?
Foreseeability.
Foreseeability and?
Injury.
Harm. Injury. All right. Very good. Very good. So we got duty, breach, proximate cause, foreseeability, actual harm. All right. Let's do some analysis. What happened here?
It was on the platform.
Okay. Platform? What kind of platform?
A railroad.
Railroad platform. Okay. What year did this happen?
1928.
All right. So we have this big, big, raised, elevated platform. We have a person on the platform.
Yep. And then there were two men that were running to catch the train.
Well, there was a train at the station?
That's what I believe was described.
Or was the train leaving the station? Leaving. Ready for my awesome artwork? Is that epic or what? I'll put the little cow catcher. Little steam. It's going this way. So you got two guys running towards the train.
One was carrying a box.
One had a box.
Unmarked.
Unmarked.
And as he was running to get on the train, the conductor was helping him, gave him a boost. One was helping him on, and one gave him a boost, and he dropped the box.
Okay, pushed?
Yeah.
Did he get on the train?
Yes, but the box didn't. And
but he dropped the box? Oh, what happened when the box fell?
It exploded.
Exploded! Is this a jihadi terrorist?
Not in 1928.
No, actually, it could have been worse. It could have been an anarchist. Oh. Was this an intentional act of terrorism, though? Seriously?
No.
Well, he's carrying explosives.
Fireworks.
Oh, fireworks. Oh. What the hell was he doing with fireworks? I could have been 4th of July. Could have been a birthday party. By the way, 1928, 29, fireworks were legal. So he did not commit a criminal act. And by the way, there were no rules like there were. So my wife and I, we're going down to New York City on Thursday because I got to go to a Sons of the American Legion thing. Got to go down and visit the national commander at his homecoming. And we're getting on the Amtrak. And I just went through all of the things. You can't bring this, you can't bring that. Although one of the most interesting things that you can bring on the train, you can bring in a bow and arrow. I saw that, I'm like, really? Granted, you have to check it. But bow and arrow. Can't bring explosives, no knives, but you can bring a bow and arrow. Or a crossbow. So I might just do that, just because I can. But, definitely, no, nothing explosive. Why is this guy trying to get on a train with explosives? Well, they probably didn't have that as an illegal act. All right. Have any of you ever played with fireworks before? Okay, good.
I was scared.
Gotcha. All right. So you've played with fireworks. I've played with fireworks, too. Playing with fireworks is fun. Dangerous, but fun. When you played with fireworks, did they ever just explode because you dropped them? We do that every single 4th of July. We go down to the lake. We've got a friend that has a concrete dock. We set up a little box, little skyrockets it. Every now and then one falls over. But never when they fell over did they blow up. If they blew up, what would that go to out of our elements? If it was common that if you drop fireworks, what could that go
proximity.
To?
Proximity.
Or?
Foreseeable.
Foreseeability. All right. So, chances are, fireworks, more likely than not, if you drop them, do not blow. Okay. Now, what does this have to do with her?
When it exploded, she got hit by pieces, I think.
Oh, no. What did she get hit with? What she claimed she got hit with?
This was very wordy.
It was a scale. Let's do this right. There was a big scale that she claims fell over and hit her, causing the injury. Why would they have scales at a railroad station? Why would they want to weigh luggage?
So that you don't, because they have to balance out her, I mean, this is 1928, so we're going way back, that it's not the same standards as we are now, but to balance off so you could put certain things in. It's kind of like when they tell you on a plane, they're like, okay, you may need to move your seat, or we may need to move your luggage to balance out the weight of that, so that...
What happens if there's too much weight on the train?
It'll slow down.
It might not even be able to go. Might not be able to go, so they're going to make sure that the train is light enough so that way it can leave the station. Well, you're right. If you have one car that has too much weight, that's going to cause a weird drag. Or if the car's not loaded right, when it goes around the bendy curves, it could flip over and have a horrendous train accident. So yeah, just like an airplane, they want to make sure that the weights are all hunky-dory. So is the fact that there is a scale at the train station, is that an oddity?
No.
Okay. Who is she suing?
Railroad company.
Why isn't she suing the guy with the package? Oh, right. That's true. Who owns the scale?
The railroad company.
Railroad company. Plus, what does the railroad company probably have a lot more of than the dude?
Cash.
So you're going to go after the deep pockets. Okay. All right. Is there any other important facts that we need to consider before we see if we can make sense of this? No? All right. Well, let's see. Generally speaking, does a railroad have a duty that it owes to people who come onto their land? What is the duty that the railroad owes to the people who come onto their land?
Transport them from point A to point B.
Okay, how?
Safely and on the train.
Safely. So you can't just take the people and just kind of like throw them in and stuff them in like, you know, suitcases. You can't like beat them in with a baseball bat. You can't blow them up. You can't drop them. You know, there's an expectation that if you're waiting for the train on the train station, on the platform, that you're going to wait there until the train comes in, and then when the train comes in, you're going to get on the train, and you're going to go. Is that duty only to certain visitors, or all people who come onto the land? All right. Now, what duty do they owe them? Remember, we have all of the different types of people that can enter the land. What duty does a business owe to its customers? Think about any business. To a Walmart.
Safety.
To what degree?
That they can be in control of everything.
Control of everything?
Foreseeable acts.
Foreseeable acts, such as? What do you mean by that?
Like if the floor is wet, they have to have a sign up.
Floor is wet. Why do they have to put a careful wet floor sign up? People are stupid, they'll walk into it, but what is the foreseeable outcome if they walk into it?
They slip.
They could slip and fall. So they have a duty to warn of known dangers. Right? Known dangers. So if it's a known danger, they have to warn them. What happens if it's an ongoing danger? Do they owe them a duty of care? Have to keep them away. So we're going to warn them, and we're going to keep them away. Why are we going to keep them away? Because business has to keep its customers safe. Because what happens if a business is in the business of killing its customers? It's going to happen to the business. Probably go out of business real soon, because eventually you're running out of customers. Because you're going to want to go into business if you're going to get, like, killed? No. That'd be a real shitty shopping experience.
Allegedly.
That's true. You got to give them the benefit of the doubt. Allegedly. All right. So they have a duty to warn and a duty of care involving known dangers. What was the harm that this plaintiff alleges? What is the basis of her harm?
She got hit by the scale.
She got hit by the scale! Have you ever seen the old, big, heavy, steel, industrial scales? How often do you think they fall? Probably never, unless someone smashes into them. That would be foreseeable. But these things are huge. One of my friends used to work for a shipping company. Same thing. Big platform scale. Put pallets on there. It's not in the wobbly business. Because if the scale company knew that their scales were tipsy, what could happen to them? They could be sued. So I'm sure they're going to do everything they can to make sure that their scale is stable. So if the scale was designed to be stable, would it be reasonable to assume that the scale would fall?
No.
Now, what did the plaintiff allege caused the scale to fall?
Fireworks.
Have you ever been around fireworks? How big is the boom from fireworks? What, do you think he had the big shells that, you know, probably this big?
Yeah, but we don't know how many he had, because we can use the example of the houses that are on fire and can explode, and that's current times that can shockwave explosions, because that, what was it, in New Hampshire or something recently around here, that somebody had fireworks in their house and there was just explosions going off. So we don't know how much, know the box, but we don't know how big the box is.
If he was carrying it, again, we don't know, we don't have a picture of it. Wasn't it rolled in newspaper? Yeah, so I'm sure it couldn't have been more than maybe like a dozen roses. Couldn't have been that big. But even if it was that big, is that going to create a boom large enough to be able to knock over a heavy steel scale? And did the explosion happen right in her immediate proximity? Actually, my picture is not even right, because the train was literally leaving the station. So the explosion actually happened at the far end. Is that close enough that a reasonable person would think that boom was enough to knock the scale off? No. It's not reasonable. It's not foreseeable. Now, was she actually hurt?
Yes.
She claims. What is a more plausible outcome? Well, what more likely could have occurred that could have caused her to get harm from the scale? What happens if suddenly there's a big boom? She could have jumped. She could have stepped back. She could have tripped over the scale. Which would have caused it, if you trip onto a scale, could that have caused it to knock over? That could be foreseeable, right? But what are the odds of a bunch of fireworks going off way down the other side of the train tracks causing this big, heavy piece of equipment to fall over? No. So should she get any money? Did she get any money?
I'm going to throw this out there. We don't know either if there was, at that time, we don't know if there was gas, like if there's gas-powered stuff, because the engine is run by coal. There are other things in there. They're not... We're missing elements, in my opinion. That's my opinion.
That, you got all the facts that were presented before the court.
Right, which, what I'm saying, like, that's some of the questions that are there. Like, we're kind of basing something and saying, okay, is this possible? An explosion is an explosion, and it's still going to cause something. That is just scientific, that is, there's going to be some kind of shockwave. It's a shockwave, and it's going to send something. So we don't know... We don't have the exact proximities. We don't have the measurements. We can't say, if you're saying it's at this end, we don't know exactly what was in the explosive.
We don't need to get that detailed because it's not beyond a reasonable doubt. It's only by a preponderance of
the evidence. I agree with that. I'm just throwing this out there. Right. Like, I don't believe this is a foreseeable thing. You're not going to go in there and say, it's kind of like you don't expect somebody to come in and hijack a plane and run it into a building. You know, that's not foreseeable. So... It's one of these where it's like, it's an accident that happened, but is it foreseeable? No, but can these elements happen?
Okay, so I'm gonna circle it back to, it's an accident that could happen, but should the railroad company be found at fault for it?
Right, I don't believe that.
Right. And ultimately, I think that's what the court decided, right? Didn't the Superior Court decide, no, there's not enough there? And if there's not enough there, do you win a claim? No, should you win a claim? Not at all. Not at all. All right. Excellent. All right. So how are we going to figure out? How are we going to know? How are we going to nail down whether or not negligence is present? The first key is obviously you need to spend a lot of time assessing whether or not there is a duty of care. Because if there is no duty, can there ever be liability? No, that goes back to the bystander's rule of obligation. If you don't owe someone a duty, you can never be liable for anything that happens to them. Ever. 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 This should actually be Lemanic's rule number 4. If you do not owe someone a duty, no matter what happens to them, you can never be held liable. Never, ever, 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 ever. But how are we going to assess? Well, it depends upon the situation. Are we talking a statutorily imposed duty? Or are we talking about common law duty? Under the common law, the courts will first look to see if there's some type of relationship between the parties. In order for there to be a duty under the common law, there has to be some type of relationship. And we went through all the major relationships already. Here's an easy one. Landlord-tenant. How many of you rent your own apartments? Well, if you rent your own apartment, you have a special relationship with your landlord, and your landlord is expected to engage in certain behavior that's not going to cause you harm. And if they don't act that way, they're going to be in breach, and they could be held liable. And by the way, Massachusetts is horrible, almost abusive to landlords. Tenants these days can almost get away with anything. More than the person who owns the house. Yeah. It's disgusting.
6 months to take them out.
Yeah. And tens of thousands of dollars. But if the landlord owned the building and you live in the building across the street that's owned by somebody else, does that landlord in building A owe anything to you? Why?
Because you're not in there.
No relationship. No relationship. Now, as far as statutory goes, well, our legislative body, that's in Massachusetts and the other states, as well as Congress, they pass all kinds of laws all the time. And there are many statutes that establish requisite behavior. And if you don't adhere to that requisite behavior, you could be found in breach. So, DUI. You have the right to drive under the influence of any type of controlled substance. No, you have no right to drive if you've consumed alcohol. You have no right to drive if you smoke pot or do any other type of narcotics. You don't have a right to do it because the law says no. Well, if you drink, there's that certain blood alcohol content. So if you have one, depending upon your body size, you might be legally okay. But if you have two, again, you might be against, you know, found in violation. So if you violate that statute, you could be held liable for anything that you do. Tiger Woods. He's in his, what, sixth accident now? Now he's trying to say, well, I was on the phone with the president. Actually, you know why he said that? Because if he gets busted, because supposedly he's on like all kinds of medication, if he gets busted for being intoxicated, that penalty is way more severe than texting and driving. So he's basically trying to plead guilty to a lesser crime. One that's only going to end up in a fine. Clever move, but I don't think the cops are going to buy it. If you work in, I've already said this, if you work in a bar, and you are a bartender, and you overserve, you could be held liable. If you work in a package store, and you sell a minor a pack of cigarettes, you could be held liable. Why? Because the law says. The law says. You cannot conduct business with a person of a certain age. You cannot conduct business with someone who clearly is intoxicated. Those are the standards that are set. So if you work in that situation, you have a state-mandated duty. You can't turn around and say, oh, I didn't know him. It's just my job. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. So what am I saying? You got to know the laws of the business that you are involved in. Why? Well, very simple. If you violate your statutory duty, the law imposes penalties. It's very simple. Very simple. And it doesn't matter if you intended to do it or not. So if you work at Walmart and you let a kid buy a can of spray paint, doesn't matter why you did it. That's not relevant. Doesn't matter what your intent was. It's not relevant. Law says you cannot sell spray paint to minors. You could be held personally, criminally liable for any harm that that kid suffers.
Can you be held? Can they help you be held responsible if they can pinpoint it that a minor tagged something?
No, you cannot be held liable for the acts committed by the minor.
Okay.
But if the kid inhales it, kills himself, then you could be held liable for that.
What's the difference?
Would that be the length? Not the length of time. What is it? We talked about it.
We did.
It's not like the connection to it. It's not like a direct connection. It's like,
It's just too remote.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you sell a toxicant chemical to the kid and the kid consumes it and dies, you'll be held liable. But you're not responsible for what the kid does with it. So Heidi was asking what happens if he goes out and commits graffiti. Well, you're not going to be held liable for that. Could the kid have committed graffiti? Without you selling him the spray paint? No, but that's just too remote. You would be responsible for any personal bodily harm that the kid did with the chemicals. Traffic laws, labeling, you know, there's a whole litany of things. Oh, if you are a chef, if you work in a kitchen, you have to be serve size safe, trained. You have to keep food at certain temperatures. And if you, you know, violate those laws and someone gets sick, you know, they could come after you. So many things that come with being an adult. Traffic laws, okay. Now, if you violate a statute, does the plaintiff have to establish all of the elements of negligence? Interestingly enough, no. If the law says you work at a package store and you cannot sell to minors and you sell to minors, they're not going to sue you for negligence. Instead, they're going to sue you under what's known as negligence per se. Negligence per se. Negligence per se. What's the difference? Well, plaintiff does not need to establish all of the elements. They don't have to establish breach, duty, proximate cause, foreseeability, and harm. The only thing they need to show? Breach and harm. You don't have to show duty. You don't have to show proximate cause. You don't have to show foreseeability. All you have to do is show it's breach and harm. So, did you sell the kid the bottle of Jameson's Irish whiskey? Yes or no? Did the kid drink it and smash his car into a wall? There's the breach. You sold it to him. There's the injury. That's it. That's it. Questions. Now, that does not mean the jury has to accept it. Remember, it's always in the hands of the jury. Maybe the video that came from the store doesn't necessarily clearly show that it was you who were working the cash register at the time. And that's the only evidence they presented. So, just because you're being assessed with negligence per se, they still have to prove at least there was a breach. But again, that's just a really long shot in terms of a hypothetical example. But just want something to remember. It's not, nothing in the courts is automatic. Nothing in the courts is automatic. Questions? All right, common law duty. As I said, common law focuses on how people should behave. How people should behave. It looks at what the individual people do. Because, as I've said a whole bunch of times, there is an expectation in our society that you have a general responsibility to act in a reasonable manner. You have a duty to act in a reasonable manner. So, there was a story that came out of Tennessee, I think, over the weekend, where a guy drove his car into a parade and hit like 14 people. Is there any situation that you can think of in the world where a reasonable person would think it would be okay to drive an automobile into and through a parade? No, not at all. Not at all. Why? Well, because, again, you don't have a right to harm somebody. So, the whole purpose of common law negligence, the common law duty, is to kind of put that wall or that line. That if you do not cross that line, you are going to be safe. But if you cross that line, well, you potentially could be held liable. Because we don't want people acting irresponsibly.
in a way that could result in harm. Again, circles back to the first rule of law that you learn in this class. If you didn't commit the harm and you see something going down, you do not have to act. As sick as it sounds, you literally can take up your phone, put on the video, and be like, oh, look what's going on behind me. Man, look at that guy. He's getting his ass kicked. You have a legal right to do that.
Oh, you go down to Florida, and you're walking on a bike path, and you see a little old lady getting rolled in the water by a crocodile. Because she decided to take her dog down. And as she's getting the death roll, you don't have to jump in. You can take your selfies and be like, look, isn't that cool? You have a right to do that.
As sick and twisted as it may sound, because what did you not do?
You did not tell the crocodile, open your mouth and put Granny in. You didn't cause it.
You did not cause it. Now, as I said, if there are special relationships, then that may create a duty.
So if it was Mrs. Professor Lemanic clutched in the jaws of the alligator, I would have a legal duty to intervene. I would be obligated to go and try to save my wife. I could not let her go away. Even if she was yelling at me because I left spots on the dishes when I washed them last night. That's not enough. Why? Because we're married. The moment you say I do, that creates a special relationship. I can't let my kids get sucked down the drain. Special relationship. I helped birth them.
I can't allow you to die in the classroom.
I'm a teacher. Massachusetts imposes special relationship responsibilities between the teacher and the student. That's why I told you on the first day, if you're going to die, get beyond where the carpet changes, under the door, get over that threshold. Yes?
So, like, for example, that happened a few times. Like, say a kid falls over into, like, the zoo, and the mom doesn't jump in, but the mom faces consequences for not jumping in.
That just happened.
Yeah.
That just happened. Like, the kid got, like, attacked by a wolf or something like that, and the parents were on cell phones? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, they're screwed. Absolutely.
Yes, you have a duty as a parent to protect your child from harm.
Just because you were interested in what's on TikTok, that's not a legal defense. They'll probably take the child away for the child's own safety. Because, by the way, if you're a parent, there is nothing more precious. There's nothing on your phone that could be more important than your child in the moment.
Yes, why? Parent, child.
Now, if it was my neighbor's kids, and I was at the zoo and I saw my neighbor's kids getting eaten by a wolf, I'm taking my phone out and I'm doing like, look at me, because they're not my kids. Not my kids.
But if I was a chaperone on a school trip,
different scenario. Guardianship. Last time I did this, oh God, I think my daughter was in like sixth grade. We went to like one of the escape rooms. And I had this girl, I don't even remember her name. She was like latched onto my leg. She was terrified. And I'm like, come on, kid, let's go. I wanted to kick her off. I was like, let the zombie monsters and the apocalypse take me. I couldn't do it. I had to help her get out. Because I signed the permission slip saying I would be a chaperone.
So if there's a special relationship, that is where the duty arises from. But if there is no relationship, no duty. Oh, this is a good one. I like this one. This is a good one. Rock station. This is actually based on a true incident. So there was a rock station that played rock and roll music, and they announced over the airways that the first person to find where the disc jockey was located
they would win concert tickets and a cash award. And over the course of the night, they gave a whole bunch of clues. Well, two miners trying to get to where the disc jockey was started breaking all of the local speeding laws. They stopped at stop signs. They were driving recklessly. And in the course of the event, the teenage driver flipped his car and killed his buddy, who was the passenger. The parents of the dead kid tried suing the radio station, alleging negligence. Is the radio station liable? Is the radio station liable?
We don't have the detail of it. They didn't give a warning, drive safely if you're gonna.
The DJ is out in the city. Actually, it was a rural county. Out in the county. Actually, I think at one point they started giving clues, and the accident happened right after they revealed his actual location. Why? Yeah.
They made it a competitive, be the first to get somewhere. So it incentivizes people to be as fast as they can.
Absolutely. Did the radio station prior to the contest have a duty to its listeners? No. But the moment they're saying, come to me, and they make it a game, and they incentivize it, first one gets there. Gets the prize. They created the likelihood, the foreseeability, of harm. Because what do little kids do, teeny boppers, when they're driving in automobiles? Do they fully comprehend the danger when they're driving a 1.5-ton piece of steel raging down back roads? Not at all. Plus, is the teenager going to be held to an adult standard?
No. Hope the show was a good show.
It was. I think it was last year. If I remember correctly. It was in the 70s. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was last year. So, even if you don't owe someone a duty, if you incentivize someone to act, the court could find a duty. Because you are creating a situation in which harm could arise. Questions? Did I have you do Hernandez? Is that one of your cases? Hernandez v. Arizona Board of Regents? Go ahead and make some. All right. I should have put that on there. That was another good case. I forgot to upload that one. So let's just do this. This is one of the sections we covered. This is coming back. Land occupier, possessor's duty. You always got to remember, there are three common law classifications for people who enter the land of another. There are the invitees. What's an invitee?
Someone invited someone.
Did you actually invite them?
No, but they're allowed to.
Why? You're right. They are allowed to be there for what reason? Yeah. An invitee is anyone who enters the land for the purpose it's held open. So, if you're going to go visit the library, you're invited there to read books, pick out books. If you're going to go to the park, and they have walking trails, you're invited to walk the walking trails. If you're going to go into Walmart, you're invited in. Go shopping! And by the way, it doesn't matter if it's government-owned or privately-owned. If you have an open sign, that's what the people are allowed to do. What duty do you owe invitees?
We've already covered it.
Well, duty of care, and, well, that's duty of care. You got to prevent them from being harmed. And what also must you do? You have a duty to warn them. So you have to warn them of known dangers, and you have to protect them from known dangers. If you go into Walmart, does Walmart have to protect you from a sudden chunk of space debris because the satellite was crashing into the atmosphere and a chunk just happened to go right through the roof and embed it right into your skull? Walmart would not have a duty to warn you, look out, you could get killed by an asteroid or satellite debris. Why not? Not foreseeable. Right, not foreseeable. You got it. Here you go. Connect that foreseeability in there. If it's known, if it's foreseeable, they have a duty to warn and a duty to care. It's not known. It's not foreseeable. No. Licensees. It's the second type. Licensees. What's a licensee?
You buy a ticket to go somewhere.
Good example. You get a ticket to go see the Woosaws. What does that ticket allow you to do?
Enter.
You can enter into the stadium. But where? Where? Whatever you paid for, whatever you are leasing for the moment. You can go and watch the show from your seat, or the game from your seat. You can go to the concourse, you can go to the snack bar. But you know what you don't do? You don't have a right to go up on the roof, even though I'm sure it's a better view of the game.
Yeah, say you bought seats and then you switched seats with someone and like it was empty and something happens and those seats would they be liable since you were would it be technically trespassing or like
give me an example.
Like say I bought tickets to Gillette Stadium,
yep.
Like a game, and then I see that seats 4A or 4B that are better than mine are empty, and I go sit there instead and say something happened to me at those seats instead of the ones I bought.
Yes, you trespass. Better, we'll make a better analogy, a baseball game. So you bought seats for the nosebleed, you see first baseline, front row is open, you sneak down there and you sit in the seats, you get hit in the head with a foul ball. You're trespassing. You don't have a right to be in those seats. No liability.
How about if they tell you, you know how sometimes they'll say, oh, these seats are available? You could.
That's a different scenario. Because you've been invited to change seats.
But if they don't post that, you only can go where you're allowed to go.
So how would that be at a Blue Sox game, say a Friday night, they kick you off the cheap seats because they set the fireworks off. They move you into somewhere else. Something happens with said firework, goes off. You're now sitting in a seat that you weren't assigned.
They've told you to move.
Okay.
They would have an increased duty to make sure wherever they move the crowd is reasonably protected.
I was going to say, like, what if they claim that they never said that?
And it comes down to he said, she said. You better get some witnesses or something to corroborate.
Because it will then boil down to the jury. Are they sympathetic? Or do they think you're an asshole?
Because if the jury thinks you're an asshole, you're not going to win.
That's the reality of it. By the way, thank you, I know that was a good point. If you go over one of your friend's houses, you are a licensee. You're allowed to come over. So let's say we're having a barbecue. Come on over to my house, we're going to have barbecue. Where can you go? Well, you can go where in my house I let you go. Where can you not go? Places I don't want you to go. Unless I tell you, you can go in my house and use my bathroom, you're not allowed to go in my house and use my bathroom. Of course, if you came on my house barbecue, I'd let you go in the bathroom. I would show it. But you know where you can't go? You can't go in the loft of my barn. You're not allowed to go up there unless I take you up there. You're not allowed to go in my basement unless I take you down there. But you're only allowed to go over in your friend's house where they tell you you can go.
Is that why it's a licensee and not an invitee?
Yes, exactly. Because if you're an invitee, you have free range over whatever is hold open to the public. If you are a licensee, you only can... It's just like on the terms of a ticket. You ever get a ticket? You ever read what's on there? They tell you when you can enter, when you have to leave, where you're supposed to go, where you can go. It's all laid out in black and white. Same thing when you go over one of your friend's house. Unless you have a special relationship with said friend. So when I was a kid, my mother... And my buddy's mother basically had a deal where we were treated like kids in the family. So we could go anywhere where the kids could go. Just because they had that special relationship. But what I could get over in my buddy Sean's house was a lot different than what I could do when I went over to my buddy Dave's house. His mother was a goddamn Nazi. Couldn't even go into the living room. Living room was off limits. No kids allowed in the living room. Couldn't sit at the dining room table unless we put the pads over the chairs. All these strict rules. But those were the rules of the game. And if you didn't follow the rules, you're gone. Get ejected. Tough ground. Tough ground. There was a generation of parents. Real tough. And of course, last one, trespassers. Generally speaking, the owners of the land owe no duty to warn. Oh, shit. Invitees, duty to warn, duty of care. Licensees, duty to warn. That's it. Duty to warn. Trespassers, no duty. No duty. But the owner of the land cannot entrap. So you cannot leave a big bear trap in your lawn hoping that some salesman will come in trying to solicit solar panels. Gee, you can't do that. Can't do that. Oh, and by the way, if you do go out and you see a trespasser injured on your land, you cannot ignore them. The moment you know they're there, you have a duty of reasonable care. So as much as we may want to, if the salesman for the solar panels is sitting there in the bear trap, you can't go dig a hole and kick him in. Questions? Go back to trespassing. Ooh. Oh, the Karen. We had a lawsuit. Found this one last semester. It was settled last semester. Bless you.
What status does she have? Is she a trespasser, a licensee, or an invitee?
Licensee.
She's a licensee. Why is she a licensee?
Because she's paying to be there.
Okay. Is there anywhere on there that says she needed a ticket to get in?
But she also wasn't invited specifically to go.
Okay, well, what's an invitee versus a licensee? That's a licensee.
Yeah.
But is this a public or a private business?
No.
It's not a private business? I Play America?
I mean, it is. I meant like it's open to the public.
Okay, so it's open to the public, so she can be in the building, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And what rights would she have in terms of entering the building? What could she do if she's an invitee? Whatever is there for the purpose that the land is held open. All right. Does a library have the power to create rules around borrowing books? So does a business have a right, even an indoor amusement park, do they have a right to establish rules in terms of who can do what? Why would they establish such rules? Safety reasons, right. And can there be exceptions? Any of you ever go to Disney World? How tall do you have to be to ride Space Mountain?
40 inches.
Not that you don't know that, like back your hands. What happens if you're 32 inches? Can you ride Space Mountain? Why?
Safety.
Yeah, you're probably not going to fit in the seat safety. So what's she trying to do? What's a go-kart?
Motorized vehicle.
It's a mini car, right, exactly. Probably has gas powered, right? Has gas pedal, brakes, steering wheel, seatbelt. What happens if you're too small? What can you not do? Maybe safely. You might not be able to reach the gas or the brakes. You might not be able to steer. You might not fit in the seatbelt. Okay. So, she wanted to let her kids ride on the go-karts. And she wanted to get on it as well. She must have been pretty short. Actually, I think she was. But she wasn't shorter than 36 inches. She was not a little person. Just short. So, the question did the company breach a duty? What duty did they breach? Duty to warn, duty of care. And they're protecting her from known harm, right?
But then it said she was incorrectly told, so she would be.
But what is she alleging the harm was from? Oh! I did one of these to you. It had nothing to do with the go-kart. She alleged that she was harmed because she was called a white bitch and a Karen. Because she was sitting there going to the poor teenage kid that worked there. And then the manager. Does a business have a duty of care to you from the acts of a third party?
No.
Careful. Only if they're foreseeable. Is it foreseeable that you would have a bunch of kids call a woman a white bitch and a Karen?
Yeah.
In this day and age, probably. But more likely than not, probably not.
Probably not. Again, this is an amusement park. They have a duty to warn people about riding the ride so they don't get harmed. But do they have a duty to protect your feelings from the words of another? So who would be liable for it?
The park has the people that own the because they
really?
Have, yeah.
Why?
Because, I mean, they could just blow over and...
Well, hold on a second.
She should be going after the parents of the kids. Not the business itself.
The business?
The
business? That's still not the business's fault. It's not the business's fault.
But they could escort them out.
Didn't say whether it did or did not. I couldn't find it in the news story. But she's suing the amusement park because she got her feelings hurt. They called her a Karen. Is it the company's fault?
No.
Did they breach a duty to warn?
No.
Did they breach a duty of care? Should they be held liable?
No.
Not at all. That's what the appeals court ruled about that. Yes?
Even if she did, she didn't suffer tragic.
Yeah, I know. Do you think this rises to the level of intentional infliction of emotional stress?
No.
Yeah, there's no proof, there was no evidence that she had to go to counseling, she lost her job, she had to take medication. She just was sad and she thought she could win. And she lost.
I'd rather be called a white face than a Karen now. Because like a Karen feels like a slur at this point.
I don't know, I would have problems if someone called me a Karen because I'm like, I don't go into that bathroom. I go into the other one. That's just me. Call me a Fred or something. I'll be a better dude with that. All right, questions?
It's Kevin.
Kevin? All right, Kevin.
It's Kevin and Karen.
All right, fine, Kevin. I hope you could. I'm not a Kevin, though. Any questions? All right, I think there's like two more homeworks on that for the negligence ones. Have them ready. We'll do it on Thursday. Bye. Wednesday. Sorry, Wednesday. I'm still on Easter vacation. Yes. Yeah. The negligence one. We only did, there's only two cases in there?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we did one of them. That's fine. So just bring it back. So if you only did one of the cases, you got another day to do it. That was the last time. You have another day to do it. I'm not collecting. I said what they are on Wednesday. Good, good. You should be prepared.
I scroll all those.
I know, and I did it just because you did that. You never know what I'm going to get through.
The one day I forget my backpack is the one day you're not taking
it. Yeah, go figure.